Yo, 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 yo. Inside the 9 o'clock hour already. 2 hours down. A 5 hour KM to AM on the fan. Let's see how many calls I can get in before Steven Nelson, the play-by-play announcer for the Los Angeles Dodgers, joins us. Let's go to Luke in Floral Park. What's up, Luke?
Hey, man. I was thinking about the Nets last night, and while I was watching, I was like, these guys don't look too bad. Like, they have their good moments. Do you think that they should be tanking for good draft picks or try to get their younger side of the team more experience in, like, high-pressure, high-stakes situations like a play-in tournament?
Luke, are you a Nets fan?
I am a Nets fan. I'm a hopeful one, and my friends think I'm stupid because I think that they should really be trying to make the play-in here.
Well, I'm a stupid Nets fan as well, but they don't have a pick in this upcoming draft, so there's no reason to tank.
Oh.
Thanks for the call, Luke. Let's go to Dr. Bill in Pompton Plains. Hey, Doc.
What's going on, buddy?
You know, hanging out,
how
watching the Yankees, taking calls, and I saw your name up there. I was like, wait, you get preference.
Now I feel special. Thank you.
You are. You're the best.
I am just returning from the Tri-State Admiral TBL basketball on their team position. We got them all fitted with orthotics. We're trying to do the Phil Jackson Albany platoon injury-free season.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm calling, because the injuries, they seem to be rampant throughout all of sports. And I know there was some talk about the Yankees looking into addressing, what we call structural management problems, because, you know, we're paying these high salaries and these guys can't last the whole season. What do you think?
This has to be the year. Gerrit Cole called it out. This has to be the year that they stay healthy. It's been ridiculous since 2019 where they actually leaned into the whole next man up thing. No, these guys get paid a lot of money to go out there and play baseball. They're not asked to play 160 games. They're not asked to play 150 games. They all get scheduled rest days and DH days and days that they're on the bench and days that they get out of the game early and get off their feet. They're not football players. They're not even basketball players like the guys you're dealing with right now. They have to stay healthy. I get that Father Time is undefeated, and the Yankees have a few guys over 32, over 30. But, like, this has to be the year that they stay healthy. And they also do have some younger guys in the mix, like Gleyber Torres, like Anthony Volpe, like Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, like, you know, Austin Wells, Jason Dominguez when he comes back. If the older guys can hold up, the younger guys will be just fine. And they have the right mix of guys trying to prove it, guys trying to prove that they still have it, guys trying to get paid next year, guys that are already established like Cole and Judge. Like, I think that this year really can turn into something special.
I hope so. You know what? I don't know where I heard it, but I know there was some talk about, you know, the science of rehab and off-season training, and you know, you can get philosophical and go back to what are we doing with our kids and the loss of the three-sport athlete. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm seeing kids with Tommy John and ACL surgeries in high school.
Right.
I mean, what used to be adult injuries is just, you know, I really hope, and I'm part of a group called Concerned Parents for Youth Athletics, that we really start paying attention, because, I mean, we're seeing it at every level that, you know, these guys, that they're, you know, not only can they not perform, their careers are getting cut short.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about kids, high school kids with ACL injuries, with Tommy John. And some of these kids that aren't even going pro, but they have to go through these procedures. I don't know. It's like a regular thing now.
Yeah, they think it's normal, these kids. They're like, yeah, you know.
We hear about it all the time in the pros. It's like, yeah, let's get it done. This should help me out. But there's a reason that these young kids, their young bodies, they shouldn't be there yet. Doc, I'm going to come see you. It's March now. I'm due for my monthly visit. But I've been good. I've been really good. I haven't had, like, last time I came to see you, it was like, I got to come in. My lower back is messed up. I need an adjustment. But, you know, not to toot my own horn, I've been working out. I've been lifting. I've been, you know, standing when I do my shows every other hour. I've been really good about it. And the orthotics you got me obviously help. And I even went to see an orthopedist or a podiatrist rather who gave me some orthotics as well. I'm like, man, I have fixed a lot of my little issues and my back, knock on wood, of course, right? Then tonight my back will flare up and I'll wake up tomorrow and call your office. But I've been good.
All right, good. Well, you know, it starts with a good foundation, not the plug.
Yeah, the base.
Too, but,
yeah.
And never mind you and me. I want to see that baby and your wife.
I got to clear it with the wife. I talked to her. I was like, next time we go, maybe we can bring Jackaman. Maybe we can drive out with him. And then while she goes in with you, I'll watch him. And yeah.
I want to take a picture with him. I want to see this kid. You know, I got grandkids. I'm pretty good with kids. I'm teaching in high school now. I'm teaching at the medical academy. Today, during the lunchtime, I even chipped in a little karaoke with the high school kids.
Look at you. I bet you're the man. I bet the kids love you.
Oh, God, I'm having a ball, Keith. You know what? 64 and going on, you know, 26. And I got more energy. I started this morning at 7:30, and here it is, you know, close to a quarter after 9, and I still am all fired up. But, you know, you guys keep me young. I got you keeping me young. I got the high school kids keeping me young. I got my my longevity medicine that I keep on studying and stuff. So, and then I can listen to you on the radio and relax. So you have a good night. Have a great weekend. And thank you for what you do.
Yeah, the Yankees keeping you young as well. We got to figure out a game for the perfect suite. I'm going to bring Jackson to his first game. He's definitely going to be in the perfect suite.
There you go.
So we'll figure out how to get you, your brother, my wife, Andrew, everybody together for a Yankee game in the suite.
Well, have a good time. Sounds good, buddy. I can't wait.
Hey, Doc, I appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling. Let's see if I can get another call in, maybe two, before the break. Peter's in Manhattan. Thanks for holding, Peter. You're on the Fan.
Hello?
Yeah, Peter, you're live. Go for it, baby.
Oh, sorry, Keith. Keith, I've been hearing you from day one. Great job. I love your show. I hope your family's doing well. Keith, just a few things. Let me get you history, and then I'll go to the Yankees.
Okay.
There was a Washington Redskins executive. Basically, what he said was the future's now. And what he did was he traded away his draft picks for players, and then they found out that he was trading the same draft picks later on. So that's just a little history for the Redskins. Now, my point is with the Yankees. I'm a big Yankee fan over 50 years. Here's a problem I have, and maybe you can explain it to me. I want the Yankees to sign Montgomery, Snell, you know, short-term contracts, whatever. Why does it bother fans and even the host? You know, the discussion I hear is, you know, the luxury tax, it's going to cost $64 million to sign Snell. Why should that bother us fans? In other words, if we hire these guys, if we can win the World Series, let's say. I mean, we'd actually be favored. So, Keith, can you explain to me why this bothers the fans? I mean, you know, the salary, luxury tax, salary caps, et cetera.
Yes, sir. It
why do we care about paying somebody so much money?
It doesn't bother the fans. It doesn't bother one single host on the Fan. What bothers us is when fans don't understand that they're not going to do it. There are penalties, and these guys are not going to pay double for a guy. They're not going to – it's just a bad investment, right? They're not going to pay extra for these guys, and we know that. They've just shown us that they're not going to do it. And, you know, you hear all these fans saying, sign this guy, and we're like, we just had a whole lockout. They made these rules and terms for a reason. Steve Cohen, there's a Steve Cohen tax so that he couldn't come in with his $13 billion and just buy up the best players. We had to figure out a way to pump the brakes on that guy. And look at him now. He's changed his course. He's saying, okay, I've got too much dead money out there. David Stearns, you come in and do this the right way for me. And let's like have a change in philosophy and adjust so that when the time comes, we can strike again. It's simply this. You can't just, I understand there's no luxury tax in baseball, but there is a collective bargaining tax. You can't just go over the threshold and keep buying and adding because you will be penalized. You have to pay double and you'll be docked draft picks. There's just like, it's just so far in between like the Yankees and the Mets and their payrolls and what they spend than teams like the Oakland Athletics right now and the Tampa Bay Rays right now. They're just, they're so far apart.
Right, they should be kicked out. I mean, they shouldn't even have these teams. But no, Montgomery,
they're
going to
expand.
They're
going to give us a team in Nashville and Salt Lake City, and then they're going to put the Mets and the Yankees in the same division before Manfred's done.
Half these teams should be kicked out, like Pittsburgh. It's, I mean, we have, yeah, I mean, like,
you can't kick them out. They have owners, they have fans, they have ballparks, and they have to play because if they get kicked out, how do we have a season? Everybody plays against everybody.
But Keith, it's a baseball issue. I mean, just to expand, and thank you for your. So it's really funny. But it's a baseball issue when you have teams like the Yankees, Dodgers, then you have teams like the Pirates. The Pirates can never compete. So you know, this is a baseball issue, not necessarily a team issue. So I don't know how this is going to be resolved. But you know, Oakland or Pittsburgh can't compete with the Yankees. I mean, you know, the tiny salary. You know, they just don't spend money. But anyway, that's a separate issue. The family's good, Keith.
Yeah, the family is great. I'm blessed. My son will be 11 months this month. Right. They're great. They're my motivation, my purpose, my why.
April 17th, I think. April is going to be 12.
Good
great.
Guess.
Yeah, I've been
good
hearing
guess.
You from the beginning. You've the gotten 13. A lot better. You were great from the beginning, and you've gotten better. So.
No, I was trash in the beginning. Thanks for the call, Peter. I had to put in some work. I had to listen to other hosts, listen to old school hosts, listen to other stations, get on the free Odyssey app, tap into other markets, write out better show plans, do better research. I had to sharpen my sword. I'm very critical of myself. I'm my biggest critic, and I feel good now. I feel better now. But yeah, in the beginning, man, I've told you guys this a bunch. I used to go home and listen to the podcast of myself and just beat myself up about it. I remember telling Spike, I'm like, bro, like some nights I can't sleep, and I'll go back and listen to myself. I'm like, you are terrible. You said this wrong. You misspoke here. This that you said was completely incorrect. I don't know where you got that from. Like, I was spiraling. That's what happens. I'm on live radio. It's like, it's a trip. It's a trip to actually like live the dream and get the chance to do the job that you went to college for. But then when you actually do it, you feel like you're not doing good enough. But I've gotten over that. I've figured some things out. And I mean, shout out to my family who supports me, but really shout out to you guys that just go above and beyond to call up with compliments and kind words and on the internet, just literally like, pick me up, big me up, and tell me I'm the GOAT. I'm the greatest. Thanks. Let's go get my next guest. Steven Nelson is going to join us on The Fan. Let's take this break, and we'll be back after this.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, let's get it. Joining us right now on The Fan in New York, all the way from L.A. Man, I just like this guy. I appreciate this guy. I'm a fan of this guy. And I was before I even got the chance to meet him. It's Steven Nelson on The Fan. And, like, this guy is a year younger than me, but where his career is going and his trajectory, like, he's one of them ones. He's calling the Dodgers games. He was on MLB Network doing intentional talk with Kevin Millar, and that's where I got to cross paths with him. I saw him on ESPN one night. I was going to text him late, like, bro, you're killing it. You're on ESPN West Coast. Steven, thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
Hey, Cam, I appreciate the vibe, brother. It's great to finally link up. And look, what people should know is, like, you know, I think we're friendly. I wouldn't say that we're, like, best friends, right? So I've always appreciated the mutual respect we've had for each other, not just in our careers, but in our life. And, yeah, man, I'm cheering from you, cheering for you from California. So it's a two-way street, brother.
Yeah, I'm just somebody that roots for people and, like, if I see somebody like yourself, like I watched Intentional Talk back when it was Chris Rose on there. So when you stepped in, I'm rooting for you to do well. And I see the internet chatter. People hate on everybody. I get hated on a ton. And I'm just like, whatever. You guys are doing nothing. You're always hating on the people doing something. So I was rooting for you. I started watching you on there. And I'm like, this guy is smart. He's funny. He's timely. He knows his baseball. I like this guy. And then I got to see you at MLB Network. So, you know, when you break that wall of like, okay, seeing someone in person, it gives you even more of a level of like, cool, he's a real dude. And then when you got elevated to call the Dodgers games, I'm like, this guy is going to keep winning. Obviously, you're on SportsCenter as well. I'm a diehard ESPN SportsCenter guy, like grew up on it. I think the world of you, man, and I wouldn't say that on air for everyone to hear if it wasn't 100% true.
And amen. That's why I wish you could see the smile on my face. That really means a great deal. You were there for me at like the darkest point of my professional life. So, and again, you didn't know me like that. And so for you to reach out the way you did and kind of stand next to me like that, it's something I will cherish forever and be forever indebted for. So, thanks for saying that. And, yeah, man, I'm excited for another year calling the Dodgers and hopefully I would like to see these two teams. They'll definitely cross paths in the regular season in the Bronx, which I'm pumped for. But, you know, I would love to see it happen in October.
Yeah, let's get to the Dodgers and the Yankees and that stuff in a second. But for the audience that doesn't know, that might not be aware of Steven or myself and what he's talking about, back in September of 2022, I just kind of teased this for you guys. When Judge was going on his historic home run chase for the AL home run record, Apple TV had the Friday night games, and those games get chosen so far out, you know, there's no way to know that Aaron Judge is going to be potentially hitting 60, 61, or 62 when they give him a Red Sox-Yankees game, but they want those games because those are premium games. So I just remember all of Yankees Twitter just being so nasty and so negative, and I said this. I said, I'm excited for Steven Nelson, Katie Nolan, and Hunter Pence. The three of you guys were on Apple TV calling the game, which you guys got hated on for that, and I always thought that was good. I just like baseball, growing the game and trying new things, and I said, I'm excited for them to get this opportunity tonight. They'll be on Apple TV. History may or may not happen, but I hope it does.
Yeah.
I said, everyone's got to relax. Enjoy your Friday. We're blessed, man. It's going to be a great night in the Bronx, and then I went to the game, and I was up there in the booth with John and Susan, and I saw you guys, and Judge didn't even hit a home run.
Yeah. He hit one like to the moon, but then it came down in fair territory and is the highest flyout I've seen to date.
And your heart dropped. You're like, oh, it's happening. Here it comes.
Brother, I was just, man. So, all right. So I appreciate it because you approached that with like a level head and objectivity. There was so much that people didn't know then and still don't know now about that whole operation. And sort of kind of what we were asked to do versus what baseball fans are accustomed to. Like, right, changes, it goes against everything in human nature, right? People like what they like. And we all know that as individuals. And you dislike what you dislike. And that's okay. Change is really difficult in all aspects of life, but I would say especially so when it comes to the sport of baseball, right? Any minuscule rule change is like torn apart and ripped to shreds,
yep.
Let alone like massive changes in the game or consumption habits. And that's what happened in 2022 with the inaugural season of Friday Night Baseball for Apple TV. And our crew was put together for and asked to provide an alternative experience. They did not want a traditional broadcast of a baseball game. They wanted a podcast during a baseball game.
Right.
And that, again, so not only are you taking away each fan base's respective announce teams, you know, through whom they are connected to the team, right? So in the Yankees case, everyone is tuning in every single game and listening to Michael Kay or Ryan Rucco and Coney and Paul, right? Those are the people, and Meredith, that is the fabric that connects generations of fans to the team. Like the players and the coaches, they change, but the broadcast booths, for by and large, they stay the same. So you're removing that every single week for two fan bases, and you're changing up how the product is delivered. Like it's a lot to handle, and I would say too much to handle. And that's that proved to be the case. Now, again, fans weren't aware of that. And it got to the point where I don't think fans cared to know about that. Like it became sort of like, the thing to do was to just bomb on us. And I'm not saying we weren't, it wasn't fair to criticize us. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it was done mostly in a way from a place of ignorance.
Yes.
So that's that. But look, man, like, when I say it was like the darkest time of my professional life, not to like bloviate about me personally, because people listening on the fan right now, they're like, who gives a damn? I don't care. But just to give context to that, it was like, I heard, I was aware of all the heat on us, right? And, like, being a punching bag every single week, like, it does something to you, especially, like, when you want to do good work and you're trying really hard.
Yep.
But then when you hear that noise, it gets louder.
You're human. You have eyes. You're human, bro. You have ears. You hear. It's hard to just block it out. And they tell us all the time, oh, just ignore the haters. Oh, just block out the negativity. Yeah. How?
It's a hell of a lot easier said than done. And I thought, like, in the moment I was doing a decent job of it. In hindsight, I was awful. And I was putting so much water in the wrong buckets. And so then I'm trying to be, as a broadcaster, what I think people want, as opposed to, like, being myself. And, like, to use that cliche, like, you're gripping the bat too tight, or gripping the club too tight, or whatever, holding the ball too tight. And it was like quicksand. Like, the harder I was trying to be this perfect version of a broadcaster, the more I was losing myself and the more I was making mistakes. Like, I remember, like, shoot, the calling Aaron, we see Booney on the screen that night, and I, like, call him Aaron Judge, or,
yep.
You know, just, like, little things like that where you're, like,
you obviously know he's so not hard. Aaron Judge, but you misspeak, yeah, because of the pressure.
100%, right? And so I think, like, now that I'm removed from that, and for anybody, like, who is listening, like, and going through something, I'm really intentional about growing through something instead of going through something, right? So, like, in hindsight, like, all that heat and all that pressure and all those mistakes, I'm better for it, right? And
yes,
and so just trying to kind of live through that now. And but so it's like it sucked going through it, but now just trying to grow through it.
And you won, and I'm happy that you won. Let's talk about going from I'm not sure where you lived when you were around here, going to One Heart's Way and see Caucus to do MLB Network. But let's talk about going from New York to L.A. That's the dream. My sister lives in West Hollywood. She's actually here today. I picked her up today, and she's staying in the city doing some work and partying. She moved to L.A., took a one-way flight, and she's literally never coming back. So how has that been? And I know you're from out there. How's that been going from living out here? And where'd you stay out here to now going back to L.A.?
So I was in New York, New Jersey for almost a decade, man. Like, I moved out there in 2014, and I was working for Bleacher Report. And at that time, like, when I first got out there, I wasn't making much. So I was staying with a family friend, 125th, and, like, between Broadway and St. Nick. And then I moved up to 143rd. And so I was there. I got engaged there. So I got love for New York for a variety of reasons. And then once I joined MLB Network in 2018, that's when I hopped across the river. And then it was kind of like, Jersey City, and then it was Weehawken, and then bouncing around. But yeah, the jewel of the Meadowlands, Sea Caucus, New Jersey. So leaving there, it was tough, man, because I got to the point in my life and career where I thought, like, New York, New Jersey, that was going to be home, because, you know, everything, like you said, like, it's the number one media market in the world. So many, like, every single network is rooted on the East Coast. So I just thought, like, I was going to be there. And, you know, my wife worked for NBC at 30 Rock. So it was like, you know, we were good. And then the Dodgers called out of nowhere. Again, when I thought, like, I was going to step away from play-by-play and just stick to studio hosting. And then they called, and I'm like, why are you calling? This is for what? For me to do play-by-play? Or did... Are you stupid? So them giving me this opportunity, not just to work for one of the more storied franchises in all of sport, but an opportunity to come home to the West Coast. You know, I was born in Long Beach and grew up south of LA. And so being back around family again, man, like, you know, family first, it's always over everything. And so it's just been really good for the soul. In addition to being a lot of fun, you know, calling baseball games for a team that wins a lot. So it's just trying to earn the blessings, man, because there's been too many of them the last couple years.
It's time for Dodger baseball. RIP Vin Scully, man. That's another New York to California, Fordham to California guy, and he's a legend. And I don't think there's one baseball fan or one broadcaster that doesn't absolutely love Vin and just how iconic he was calling games. And, I mean, man, you get to step in the Dodger Stadium and do that. You get to illustrate the game for people. You get to, you know, get on that microphone for those fans. They lead the league in attendance. That stadium being renovated after 2020 when they were supposed to have the All-Star game, I mean, they did have the All-Star game in 2022. I got to go out there. I'm like, this place is nuts. I call it the theme park of ballparks. It's like Disneyland for baseball. Tell us about the experience last year, your first year getting to call the Dodgers games, and congrats on being, you know, breaking barriers and trend-setting, being an Asian-American and being the first to get to do that. I know we spoke about Sweeney Murdy and how much respect we have for Sweeney Murdy. Obviously, me being a black dude, like, we just understand what it means to be the first and to transcend and get to do those things.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Sweeney, he's a trailblazer, and I've said as much to him. We got to work together a lot when I was at the network, and just an immense amount of respect and admiration for what he's done, what he has endured. I think that's the most important thing is, you know, it's not just about us, right, and what we do. It's about who's next. And making sure that the road they walk on is a little bit smoother than the one we've had, right? And that's what it should be about for everybody.
Of course.
Pushing things forward. So, I mean, you talk about Mr. Scully. And, you know, I never had the fortune or privilege of meeting him, but, like, every single baseball fan, you grew up knowing his legend. And, you know, he is just like a timeless, melodic voice. And it was so gentle yet authoritative. He's the class of this business, not just in my opinion, but in the eyes of many others, right? And he just felt familiar, and that was his gift, that was his magic. So walking into Dodger Stadium for the first time, and you walk into the Vin Scully press box, right? It's named after him. And then you walk into the booth and you sit down in the chair that he sat in, and you put on the headset that he wore. It's like you talk, Keith, I know you talk about this all the time. The pinstripes are heavy. That headset was heavy, you know? I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
I can actually imagine. I love that I get to talk to John Sterling, and I get to see John Sterling, you know?
I geeked out meeting John and Susan for the first time. So, like, it's like, you know, when you're sort of in that space, you know the heavyweights, right, and the legends and the people who stand the test of time like that. And so it's just approaching each and every day with a reverence for that spot and recognizing the history that comes with those headsets and understanding the responsibility that brings, you know, and just trying your best to be true to that. And It was a lot of fun, man. That first last year, you know, being the first year, the team started off slow, and everyone was giving me a hard time. Like, they were 500 basically going into June, and
they got
like,
super hot.
they're like
11 game win streak.
You get here and the team stinks now, and I'm like, oh no, like, this is bad.
You're that powerful. Yeah, you have that much power.
Yeah. 100%. So, and then they turned it on, had an historic August, and, you know, ended up winning 100 games again. You know, certainly the postseason wasn't great, but on the whole, it was a really, really fun year. And like you said, like Dodger Stadium, Yankees, like those places with history, but also with juice, man. There's something about those parks when you walk in, you sit down for a game.
Any night of the week. It could be a Tuesday night in May, and it's lit in there.
No doubt. It's just it's different, and that adds to the experience as well. So, and you talk about attendance. I imagine the Dodgers will be up there again this year with all the buzz and noise of the off season.
Oh, of course. I mean, incoming Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Here in New York, we spent a stupid amount of time talking about, when Ohtani hits free agency, he's going to be a Met. That never even kind of transpired, but Yamamoto was actually a real, like, possibility for the Mets and the Yankees, where we went back and forth, host on the fan, arguing, he's coming to us. We actually thought we were competing for the first time for a free agent. We were never actually competing for him. He was always going to be a Dodger. So I'll say this before I ask you about your expectations. I'm a hater. I mean, I never hated on the Dodgers, being the Brooklyn Dodgers. But as a Yankee fan, I am going to be on the fan after Yankee games, and on my MacBook, I'll be watching you guys. I'll have MLB.TV fired up, and I will be rooting for the super team, the $1 billion duo, to lose.
Hey, so I think that is perfect that you bring that up. So I think most sports fans know the bowler Pete Weber, right? He's famous for, who do you think you are, I am?
Yeah, we just came across 12 years since that, or 14 years? Yeah, 12 years since
something
that.
Something like that. So when he bowled his last frame, he said something to the effect of, hate me or love me, you watched. And I think that the Dodgers and the Yankees can both speak to that existence, right? People watch. Fans watch because they want to see him succeed, and everybody else watches because they want to see the empires fall.
Yep.
They put butts in seats and butts in front of the TV screen or the phone or the tablet or the sports bar. It's undeniable. So I think that when I said off the hop that I would love for the Dodgers and Yankees to be on an October collision course, meeting in the postseason for the first time since the 1981 World Series, I think it would be epic. You know, people have bloviate about what's good or bad for the sport these days and write columns about all that. What's good for the sport is compelling storylines. And to me, am I somewhat biased, like sitting in a broadcast booth for one of those teams? Sure. But I think that New York and L.A., you know, Judge and Betts and Cole and, you know, the star power, the hate power, all of it would be spectacular for the game of baseball. So that's where I'm at. And I think the Dodgers, and they're aware of that, you know, like they know that every series they walk into, the boos on the road are going to be a little bit louder. Right. And the cheers when they lose are going to be a little bit louder. Right. And they're aware of kind of all that mountain that's sitting on top of their shoulders heading into this year. So I'm very anxious and curious to see how they handle it through the course of 162.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I think baseball is alive and well. I always tell folks listening to my show that 10 years ago, I was in the MLB fan cave, and the first two people they picked were myself and my good friend Serena Sanchez, Dodgers season ticket holder. Her dad was there when they won the World Series in 88. They've had season tickets all these years. They put her and I in the fan cave first because the dream for Major League Baseball is to have Yankees, Dodgers, World Series, those two markets, those two fan bases who, you know, lead the American League and National League in attendance clash in the World Series. If that can actually happen this year, baseball will be better than we've seen it in the last few decades.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the Yankees and Dodgers not playing in October since the 81 World Series. There hasn't been a New York-LA Championship Series going on a decade. The last one was, the 2014 Cup Final, the Stanley Cup Final with the Kings and the Rangers, you know, which the Kings
we
won.
We saw the Dodgers-Mets play in 2015 in the NLCS.
But a championship, but you're right, but
but it's the Mets, so it's like, you know, right. It's not the same. I'm kidding, but not really.
Those phone lines, hey, Connor's going to be, they're lighting up right now. Mets fans are calling in to hit KM up about his Mets hate.
Bring him
on. But no, like a full on world championship series, there hasn't been one in 10 years now. So I think, you know, what better time than the present? Let's get it cracking, man. Like there's a lot of overlap, right? You know, it's not just like the Victor Gonzalez, Caleb Ferguson trades of this offseason, but like you're going back, like Donnie Baseball, Joe Torre wore both uniforms. Yep. You got Sheffield and Strawberry from Tommy John to Tommy Canely. Like, you know, like Dave Roberts stole second on Mariano in 2004. Like John Carlos sent a ball into orbit out of Dodger Stadium. Like there's a lot of beyond like the top of the star pool the two teams have. To me, there's a lot there that we could dig into. My man Jerry Harrison Jr. I work with now at Sportsnet LA. You know,
yeah. Shout out to him, and I got to kick it with his brother with the Players Alliance at the All-Star Game. Good people, both of them.
Great people, man. So, I just, you know, when you really sit down and sit with the Yankees and Dodgers heading into 2024, I mean, sign me up. Sign me up now.
Steven, you're the man. Thanks for taking the time out. I know I took you away from your beautiful wife and kids. I'll let you get back to that, and I hope to see you soon.
hey, don't tell anybody. You did me a solid. That was a gift. I got away from the screaming children for 20 or so minutes. Hey, jokes aside, man, congrats to you and yours. And hey, you're in parenthood now too. So we're in the club together. I appreciate you and the team as a fan for carving out some time for me. We'll chop it up again soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Steven Nelson. He calls the games for the Dodgers. He used to be one of us, a New Yorker over here on MLB Network. And, friend of mine in the industry who I think the world of. And if you're not familiar with him, you should get familiar. Find him at Steven Nelson on Twitter, on Instagram. And like I said, I'll be updating you this season when the Dodgers are playing, whether they're dominating or whether they're losing, which they're probably going to dominate. He'll be calling the games, and when I'm here after the Yankees post game, taking your calls, talking about what the Yankees and Mets are doing, I'm going to give you a little update of what goes on out in the West Coast. And, my mistake. It wasn't the NLCS. It was the NLDS in 2015 when the Mets defeated the Dodgers. I'm just playing with you Mets fans. These are my Mets now. Those weren't my Mets back in 2015. I didn't care for them at all. But now it's LGYM. Let's go Yankee Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got to take a break, but call me up and join the show. 877-337-6666. We'll be right back. And we're back. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. Haven't done a Friday in like a month. Feeling good about it. Shout out to Steven Nelson for joining us. I mean, like I said, if you don't know who Steven Nelson is, look him up. Get familiar. He's a good dude. Good at what he does. Young in the game. Shout out to Ryan Dunleavy, who joined us about an hour or 2 hours ago. And coming up next is Christian Winfield, man. Something I wanted to say is, like, how blessed I feel that I've been able to break into the media over the last 3 years with the radio, but also, you know, MLB Network and Yes Network and social media. And that has given me the opportunity to connect with people that I admire. I'm a sports fan. There are so many people that I got to listen to and watch for years. And then when I meet them, I fanboy out. But I'm, you know, also just like a real one where, like, I'm fanboying out. I give everybody their flowers and respect. But I also am just like, you know, nice to meet you. Like, let's exchange numbers. I'm rooting for you. And it is like, it has gone so far for me. I was just saying to Connor, like, in this game, in the industry, you know, your name enters rooms before you do. People hear about you and talk about you before they actually meet you. And there's some good people. There's some bad people. There's some dope people. There's some lame people. And I'm just blessed that, like, I have built a network of people that rock with me. And I can bring them into WFAN. Some of these people that you hear me call into WFAN, like, they wouldn't pop in on any other show. They don't know some of the other hosts, but I'm glad that I can use, you know, my relationships as leverage to, you know, give you guys maybe a little different take or a little different perspective. And I hope you enjoy, some of the hosts some of the guests that I bring in. You know, our producers can book us guests, but I try not to lean too much on them because I don't necessarily want to always go with just, interviewing people on the Fan or talking to people on the Fan that I don't have rapport with. It's like a cold call. Like, I have no idea who this guy is. I got to look him up. Like, some of these guys I have on, sometimes the producers book for me, I appreciate it, but I don't even know their names. I just feel like it comes across better when it's someone that I know that I can talk to. And I look forward to meeting more people in the industry and going to more games and events and networking events and all-star games and different things so that I can bring those people back to the Fan in New York, the greatest sports talk radio station ever created. 877-337-6666. Pat is out on Long Island. Pat, I got to you before your phone died. You're on the Fan.
I appreciate that. I'll just make it quick for that same reason. I don't know if I'm being a little sentimental from personal history with family or Domingo Germán. What are the rules with him? Because there's still only 27 perfect games in the history of baseball. And he's still just out there. I believe he needs help. And how do you just let a guy like that walk when we're talking about signing that guy? Like, can we keep him for cheap for similar reasons? And I feel like he deserves the chance. I know it's hard to say, and I think that A's team was abysmal, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Pat. I'll lay out here and take us to the top of the hour with my response. So with Domingo Germán, you know, you said a couple things about like he deserves another chance. He got his second chance. If you remember correctly, in 2019, the Yankees were depending on him to be an ace. He pitched like one, and the Yankees were depending on him that postseason, and he wasn't available. Why? I think he had a little too much to drink, and you guys might or might not know the rest, but there were allegations of domestic assault, and some people that I know physically saw it. It went on at CC Sabathia's gala late in the season, and boy, I remember it so vividly because it was at Hudson Yards, the Honeycomb over there, and I just remember thinking this is not a good idea because it was on an off day, and it was so late in the season, and there was alcohol involved, and CC Sabathia himself doesn't even drink, and I'm like, I everything that year they were going on to win the division, and it was such a good year. It was the next man up year where we found out about Mike Tauchman and Gio Urshela and even guys like Tyler Wade and, Mike Ford. Guys filled in and did the job where it felt like the Yankees, like things were going their way. You also remember Dellin Betances was supposed to come back. Didn't happen. And, you know, that letdown with Domingo Germán, and I can't really speak to what I know, but that mistake that was made was witnessed by a lot of people in the Yankees and baseball, and there was just no way. He ended up getting suspended, and he served his suspension, but it wasn't like the Yankees could replace what he was for the team. They needed him. So then he served his suspension, he came back, and then, yes, last year he threw a perfect game, which I remember getting on the fan that night saying I wasn't going to watch the game because I had stayed up the night before to watch the Yankees lose 2-1 to the Oakland Athletics in Oakland, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is a poverty franchise. Their fans are literally like boycotting against them. Elon Musk has to buy tickets for people to even go to the games. Like we're going out there and losing to them. It's not worth watching. This team isn't good. And then I go home and watch the Yankee game as I always do. I don't think there's no chance that I'm going to go home and the Yankees are playing and I'm so mad that I'm not going to watch them play. And I end up watching a whole perfect game, and there was a lot of folks that went to sleep and didn't get to see that. And it was magical, and it was fun. And if you love baseball, the whole game, you're watching like, this might happen, this might happen. And you're not thinking that, okay, it's Domingo Germán who had an alcohol issue and a domestic violence problem. But then, fast forward through last year, he had some issues. And I just remember Boone pulling him at 88 pitches, I think, in that Cubs game that they ended up losing and losing the series. And then most of us remember him having like a lump in his armpit, they said. Supposedly he was like available, then not available. He was scratched from his start, and I think Johnny Brito made the start. Then he came out of the bullpen, and we were all like, what the hell is going on? Something isn't right. The Yankees aren't telling us something. Is it Domingo's fault? Is it the Yankees' fault? Me personally, I'm like, come on. This is the New York Yankees. They're supposed to be run better than this. This is shenanigans. This doesn't make any sense. I hated last season, bro. But Domingo had a drinking problem, and supposedly there were articles written about him coming into the clubhouse the next day or that day drunk and, like, not being able to pitch that day because he either needed to, like, I don't know. I don't exactly remember. But as far as the Yankees giving him another shot, no, that was the last straw. Perfect game be damned. You like he showed up supposedly like was talking down to Ron Marinaccio and like broke a TV and like that stuff can't fly. That stuff can't happen. And you know, I don't care where he lands. It's over. And I don't look at the Yankees right now as if they need him in this rotation. And also, like, I wish him the best as far as treatment and getting that situated, but like that's no longer the Yankees' problem. It was the Yankees' problem for 4 years. 877-337-6666. You guys really think the Yankees need pitching that bad? I cannot wait for the season to start so we can review every night. So we can look. And if it's that bad, Brian Cashman, he's on the hot seat. He will have to do something about it. Either a young guy will be elevated or a trade will be made sooner rather than later. But I'm not worried about the pitching. It was the hitting last year. They couldn't score more than 3 runs. When they did, they figured out how to win games. There was a stat, like, when the Yankees score 5 or more runs, they have, like, an 80% win chance. Like, yeah, no kidding. I'm not worried about the pitching. Keep McPherson on the fan. Call me up, man. We're talking about the Yanks. We're talking about baseball. It's March 1st. We're almost there. Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, Christian Winfield to talk about your New York Knicks. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Fan, BRB.